Hello, and welcome to episode 4 of The Grand Cast. I am your host, Chris, and today is February 4th, Saturday, February 4th, in the year 2017.
The year of our Lord.
The year of our Lord, for some people.
For me.
For you.
Please respect my beliefs.
This is a cam-oriented universe, so... And this is my guest, Cameron Burwald.
Hello.
Thank you for being here today. Tonight,
Cam. You are very welcome.
It is nighttime.
It kind of is, yeah. It's evening.
Dark out.
It's evening. Well, it gets dark at 4 o'clock, so it could be any time in the day after 4 o'clock for all they know.
Yeah, and they don't know.
What do they know?
People. Ugh. All right. So, in case nobody has heard the Grand Cast before, I'm going to start out with the mission statement. Which is the purpose of the Grand Cast is to explore the comedy scene, specifically improv, in Grand Rapids, Michigan, as it exists in 2017 through a series of one-on-one conversations. And there are three goals associated with the Grand Cast. The first one is to record at least one hour plus long episode per week. Second goal is to post new episodes weekly in audio format. I gave up on video after the technical difficulties in the first...
Probably for the best with me as your guest, not gonna lie.
That's what they all say. And then to make at least one person's day better through the creation of quality content.
Well, you're making my day better right now.
I'm gonna just check this goal off right here. All right. Boom. One down, two to go.
Okay. I have to say, your goal here with your podcast is to interview comedians or comedy people in Grand Rapids in 2017, in the year of our Lord, 2017.
Anno Domini.
Anno Domini. Yep, okay. In the year of our Lord. And so far, you've interviewed Mike Nichols, who moved to Austin and is no longer doing comedy in Grand Rapids. And now you're interviewing me, and I'm about to move to Chicago in 2 weeks, and I'll no longer be doing comedy in Grand Rapids. So I'm telling you, you're not really going to meet that goal if you keep interviewing people who have left or are about to leave. It's not really going to be a Grand Rapids podcast. It's going to be a podcast of people who left Grand Rapids.
Well, they're people that participated in the comedy scene.
In 2016.
Yeah. Well, we're still pretty fresh in 2017.
Yeah, that's true. It doesn't feel like it, though, does it?
No. Feels like...
Yeah, feels like what a year it's been. It's only February.
Yeah. It's not the time, it's the miles, right?
It's not the destination, it's the journey.
Yeah. Don't stop believing.
Don't stop till you get enough, my dear boy.
Can you ever have enough?
I've got nothing to respond to that with.
All right. So we're going to start with the interview portion of the podcast.
Okay.
This will probably take, based on previous guests, maybe like an hour or so. And then we'll take a short break, and then we'll go into the second portion of the podcast, which is the mini segments. So to start out, Cam, what is your favorite color?
That color that you see in those photos of the Caribbean islands with the ocean, and it doesn't look like the ocean looks in the United States where it's just kind of blue. It looks kind of green. That is probably my favorite color. It's a very refreshing color, like kind of a...
It's like aquamarine?
Yeah, aquamarine, I guess you could call it. I don't think that
like
really
turquoise?
Quite...
Turquoise?
Turquoise, maybe.
It's
I don't
not
really...
green enough.
I don't think that really quite captures it, though, because it's more of a mixture of two colors. Like, in some spots, you have that blue, and then you also have that green interacting with it. And I like both colors individually. They're fine, but when they kind of coalesce together, they're not one color. There's still two different colors that are kind of blending together, and that's what I really, really like. It just looks amazing, and I don't think it's like a real thing that actually looks that way in person, but...
It's Photoshopped?
It probably is, or, you know, in the days before Photoshop, because I remember those photos before Photoshop. How old is Photoshop? From the 90s, right?
Back in the 1900s.
Back in the
1900s?
It was created, yeah, the 1890s, I believe, is when it was first invented, and then didn't really become popular until the 1900s. So that's why I said the 90s. I'm Sorry about that. I was just trying to correct you there, but, you know.
Now that our lifespans are so long, you really have to define when you're referring to, like, one of those tens generations.
The tens generations.
Like 80s music for some people is...
Now that we live to be 200, we have to make sure to really tell everybody which century we're referring to. Yeah. Oh, when I'm talking about the tens, I'm talking about the 1910s, you know, not the 2010s.
Yeah, I want to future-proof the podcast. Cause...
Okay, yeah. That'll be important for when people go back and listen to this and they're like, how did it all go wrong?
The archaeologists or anthropologists?
Anthropologists in the future. They'll look back on this like the people in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventures. Ooh. One of them played by George Carlin. I'm sure you remember, and he looks back on everything, and he's like, well, this is how it all started with Bill and Ted. They're going to look back on...
Whoa.
Except for us, it won't be like the saviors of humankind will be the downfall of humankind, probably.
That's pretty pessimistic.
Well, I mean, are you working hard to save the world, Chris?
One soul at a time, Cam.
One soul at a time?
Yep.
Let's get to the... So I answered your first question.
Yep, I'll mark that off.
Yes,
mark second off. Question. For how long have you been doing comedy?
Like a year? That's really about it. I mean, define doing comedy.
Performing comedy.
Performing
on a stage,
in front of people.
In front
yeah,
of people.
That's kind of what I thought you meant. Yeah, about a little over a year now. Haven't been doing it that long, you know?
Did you watch comedy before then?
Well, I mean, yeah. Hasn't everybody watched comedy at some point? I'm sure even in,
not everybody.
In caves in Iraq, they've watched comedy at some point in their life. Oh.
What kind of comedy do you think they listen to?
Probably Jeff Dunham. He seems pretty universal.
Yeah.
Dane Cook, maybe.
Ooh, I hope not. No wonder they hate Americans. That was probably prejudiced and bigoted for me to say that.
Yeah, that was extremely. That's why I did not laugh at that at all.
Yeah.
I imagine they're probably not a fan of one of Jeff Dunham's little puppet characters either.
Is it the Akbar one?
Akbar? Is it Akbar or Ahmed? Is it racist of me to ask what his name is? I feel
I
like they're
watch
similar names.
Puppet comedy very
I think
often.
It is Akbar.
Although the puppet comedy they did at Dog Story was really good.
That
was improvised.
That was really good.
That was
Do you remember the one that I did? That Sean asked me the day before the Thanksgiving show to join into their sketch. And I just grabbed a sock and put it on my hand and made a little tinfoil hat for it. And
that's a good one.
Then I just came out and spouted some stuff about Native Americans being from another planet. I don't know. You know, the story of Thanksgiving that we don't know.
Yeah, because it's been suppressed to get people to buy cranberry sauce.
That's exactly what it is.
Because why else would anyone ever buy cranberry sauce?
If no,
it wasn't for
I mean,
the story
why
of Thanksgiving.
It's consumerism is what it ultimately comes down to. How can we sell this fucking product that nobody wants?
Yeah, big cranberry.
Big cranberry.
Rewriting history.
Big turkey.
Big turkey.
Big turkey. Who wants to buy a whole turkey?
Big pumpkin.
When do you buy a whole turkey other than Thanksgiving?
Never.
Think about it.
Never.
How often do you eat turkey outside of Thanksgiving? You might have like a turkey sandwich. What are they doing with all that dark meat turkey?
Where does it go?
Yeah, where does
it go?
Probably, yeah, hot dogs maybe. Well, those are like turkey dogs though, aren't they?
They're like a real non-kosher hot dog is a blend of like turkey.
I thought it was chicken
pork
and pork usually.
They throw turkey in there. They hide it.
Do they really?
Yeah.
And they don't put it on the label.
It's in tiny print.
Sons of bitches.
Next to an asterisk.
Those sons of bitches. Because turkey is like dog meat, basically.
Like it tastes like dog?
It tastes like dog. I've eaten enough dogs to know that it tastes like dog. Turkey is dog meat.
The other dark meat?
The other... The slogan, yeah, of course, the slogan for turkey is the other dark meat, as we all know, and the slogan for dog is the other dark meat.
That was more of an international advertising campaign, so.
Yeah, it didn't catch on here.
No, they just slip it into the hot dogs. So how long have you lived in Grand Rapids for?
I think you mean for how long have you lived in Grand Rapids?
All right. We're going to call the podcast early this evening. Thank you for coming out, Cam. It was a pleasure having you here.
I'm sorry. You ended your sentence on a preposition.
Is that what that is?
That is a preposition. For.
Oh. I didn't do very well in grammar in school.
Did you have a grammar class?
Honors English. Like, I was good at English.
Okay,
but
didn't do very well. You were just in honors class.
I liked reading and writing, but I didn't care about the formal structure of it.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe you should. Maybe you should fucking give a shit.
I don't, except for when it makes me feel bad, like right now.
I'm sorry, Chris. I can see the tears streaming down your face. Please, have a napkin.
Thank you for...
Oh, they're dripping.
What was that?
You hear them?
As they land on the
They're dripping
the
on
floor.
Your floor. I'm sorry, Chris. Let me give you a hug.
I like that you're making gestures so I know what's going on.
Well, I'm hugging you right now.
Against my
will.
And
I'm making violent hand gestures with my hands because I'm also very angry that you don't appreciate grammar.
I didn't consent to that hug.
2 years. I've lived here for 2 years, Chris.
2 years.
Does that answer your question?
How did you like it here? Since you're leaving soon, and I haven't
well,
that
clearly
up yet, so.
I must hate it, right? Or I wouldn't be leaving. I love Grand Rapids. You know, I come from a small town. Are we getting real?
I don't know.
Is this the part where we get real?
I have problems detecting human emotions. So,
I come from the land down under.
Oh boy.
I come from Cadillac, Michigan. I moved to Traverse City, Michigan. Then I moved down here. I'm taking steps every time I move. I move to a bigger city, it seems like. So next I will be moving to Chicago. Chicago, the Bears.
The Bears.
That's all I know about Chicago.
That's all?
The Turbulent City.
Mm.
The City of Angels.
City of Angels.
The Big Apple!
I haven't been to Chicago in a long time, so I'm not familiar with all the vernacular. Is that mm-hmm. Yeah. But it sounds exciting.
Yeah, it will be. I love Grand Rapids. I'm going to miss Grand Rapids. I'm going to miss being able to... Because, you know, I don't even technically live in the city. I live in, like, Kentwood, right on the border with Grand Rapids. But... Even there, like, rent is cheap enough, and I can drive into the city and come here and do your podcast and whatever else I need to do, go to Dog Story Theater and Easttown and everything else where everybody I know lives, and they never want to come down to Kentwood because it's such a drive. But
and there's nothing there.
Well, that's true, but except I'm there.
Chain restaurants.
I'm there.
I can count the number of times you invited me to Kentwood on... Zero hands.
Zero hands. I'm pretty sure I've invited. You know, I don't invite people down there because if I do, nobody wants to come anyways, so...
I would have said no, but...
Yeah, exactly.
I would have appreciated
you see, I preemptively non-invited you because I already knew what your answer would be. I love Grand Rapids. I love being able to get downtown, and it only takes me 15 minutes. It's not that bad, you know? 15 yep. minutes out of my life, and I can visit my friends and hang out and blah, blah, blah. I go home to sleep. I watch a little bit of television before bed. Well, I watch Netflix. I don't have TV. That's pretty much it. That's all I'm really home for. Sometimes I cook.
What do you like to cook?
What do I like to cook? Recently, it's just been like easy stuff. Eggs, macaroni and cheese, I like to make chili from time to time. The first time I made chili, I always used to be really picky and I never wanted to make chili. And even now I don't put onions in it because I hate onions. But the first time I made chili, I made it for my mother and she told me that it was the best chili she ever had. And it was the first time that I made it. So I'm pretty proud of that. Nice. I make a mean Thai peanut curry. If you ever came down to visit me in Kentwood, you might know that. I make red beans and rice. I haven't made that in a while. But I would always make something like that whenever we had the Planned Parenthood practice and whatever it was going on. And I would offer it to them, and they'd be like, no, thank you. And then I would eat it all myself. And
Do you use coconut milk in your
red beans? Yeah. Okay. In my chili? Absolutely.
In your red beans and rice?
My red beans and rice?
You put coconut milk in your chili?
No, I don't put coconut milk in my chili. No. You silly goose.
That might have been your secret ingredient. I don't know.
No, gross. No, I don't put it in my red beans and rice either. I put it in my Thai curry. I thought that's what you were asking me about.
No.
The red beans and rice?
Yeah.
I don't put coconut milk. Who would put coconut milk in that? It's Cajun.
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm not a gourmand.
A gourmand? No, I don't. I like to cook a lot of different things, but I really like spicy food. I find that no matter how many forms of heat I add and how much pepper I add, I can never get it spicy enough.
Hmm.
The hottest thing I ever ate was at a Thai restaurant where they made me some kind of curry. I think it was gangped, however you pronounce it. And it was a red curry with pineapple and broccoli and chicken. And they asked me how spicy I wanted it, and I told them, make it as spicy as you can. And, like, the hottest, you know, they have levels. They have, like, 1 through 10 or whatever. I told them 10. And it was the hottest thing I ever ate, and I was crying. I remember I took it, and maybe this is why it was so hot. I picked it up in Traverse City. I was there, and I don't remember who I was there with, but I picked it up there. And then took it back in a takeout container to Cadillac. So it was marinating in all this heat for like an hour. And I ate it when I got home, and I was in tears. My face was bright red, and I was crying at how hot it was. But I wouldn't stop eating it because I loved it. I love that heat. It's almost a challenge to eat it, but it's a challenge that I want to take on. And then I finished it, and I've tried to get something that hot again. I've been trying. This was years ago. I've been trying to get something that hot ever since, and just haven't been able to.
Have you been to Shea Olga in East Town?
No, I haven't. That's what is it? It's like Hungarian or something.
Haitian restaurant.
Is it Haitian?
I
knew it started with an H. I was way off on the geography, but
it's pretty close.
Yeah, Hungarian, Haitian food. Very similar.
They do the 1 to 10 scale. And the first time I went, I got a 3, and that made me uncomfortable. Like, it was so spicy. Now I get a 2. And they do 10s, and they do double 10s.
Double 10?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. I think I might have to try that before I leave. I didn't know that. I didn't know it was Haitian food. I know right where it is because, you know, I perform at Fictional Friends and Mulligan's in East Town. It's Fictional Friends every Wednesday, 9 p.m., 9:30 p.m.
Free show.
Free show.
Cold air conditioning.
It's very cold. Bring a coat.
Yeah, it doesn't really have a sign, I don't think. It's just
I know like where it is.
Yeah.
I think. It's like that weird-shaped building.
Like a wooden, it looks like a boat hut or something.
Yeah, it looks like a yurt or something.
Yeah, but very delicious food.
Okay, like
their jerk chicken, the spice.
Yeah, isn't jerk Jamaican though?
Caribbean.
Okay, fair enough.
I don't know the details of all the
Thai Express. Have you ever eaten there on Kalamazoo Avenue?
Thai Express on Kalamazoo.
Down Kalamazoo near 44th?
Once.
They, I think, are the best Thai. You know, people talk about Herb Thai. I think Thai Express, they're not quite as fancy as Herb Thai, but I think their food is better and the service is better and the people there are just the nicest people. I was there with my ex-girlfriend almost when I first moved here. And you know, we saw them on Yelp. They had good reviews, and we thought, well, let's check it out. And we went there, and she ordered like a 2 or a 3 or maybe a 4 on the heat scale out of 10 because she doesn't like it to be very spicy. And she was like in tears because it was way too hot for her. And I was laughing at her because it didn't Like, I would eat it, and I had mine was way hotter. I had a 9, I think. And they could see that she was really struggling, so they brought her out a bunch of rice to kind of dilute it. Mm. And she was still struggling after they did that, so they remade the entire dish and didn't even ask, like, if she wanted something else. They just remade the entire dish, less spicy, and replaced it for her with no questions asked, for free.
Hmm. Yeah. That is good service.
Yeah, I thought that was really nice of them. Because it's her own fault for ordering it that hot, you know?
Yeah. All right. What is the most important thing that you've learned about yourself through doing improv?
That I can go up and talk in front of... You know, I kind of already knew that I could go up and talk in front of people and do stuff in front of people. I'd never gone up and performed before I did improv. A lot of people that do improv are, you know, we know a lot of the same people that do this kind of stuff, and they all have like some kind of background in theater or whatever the case may be. You know, they did theater in high school, they continue doing it, they're in community plays, they're doing musicals, all this kind of stuff. Never did any of that. Never did any kind of performing. I think the closest thing I ever did was I wrote like stories and stuff, and I still do that from time to time. I never wrote like sketches or comedy or anything.
Fan fiction?
I don't think I wrote any fan fiction. I think I mostly stuck with original stuff that was so derivative it probably could have been fan fiction. Like I would write these science fiction stories that were just basically Star Trek, and I should have just made them Star Trek, but I wanted them to be my own thing, you know?
Were they erotic at all?
No. Oh. Except for the one about the siblings that has.
Whoa. All right. What is your favorite
kind of... Are we trying to keep this PG?
No.
Okay, good.
You can say fuck if you want to.
Fuck.
Fuck.
Siblings fucking.
Mm.
No good? No? Okay.
You crossed the line there.
Okay.
That the internet will not tolerate.
Well,
I'm gonna have to change my.
Yeah, I think the internet will tolerate a lot more than what you think.
Probably. What is your favorite beer?
That is a hard question. So I never really used to drink when I was younger, and honestly, I haven't been drinking much lately either. But when I first got into the whole craft beer scene and IBUs and, you know, ABVs and all that junk, the first beer that I really remember drinking was, that I remember liking, I should say, was Soft Parade.
Mm.
And I think it's just because it was so fruity and easy to drink.
Mm-hmm. It tastes good.
At that time, Soft Parade was like 9.5%. So you would drink a couple of those, and when you weren't used to drinking beer, and you drink it and you just chug it down because it tastes so good and it doesn't taste like it's really strong or bitter, you would get drunk very quickly on Soft Parade. Yep. And it would sneak up on you. And I kind of stopped drinking Soft Parade, or if I did, I'd have like one. And I'm not even going to say it's my favorite beer. I actually probably, my tastes have evolved a little bit since then.
Matured?
Yeah, matured. My tastes have matured. I really like Breakfast Stout, you know. Mm. That's a good one. But Soft Parade always has kind of that place in my heart as being my gateway beer. Kind of like if you smoke marijuana, you will eventually do heroin and cocaine and stuff. I mean, it's just a fact. Sure. That's just a fact.
Start out with the Pilsners and the lagers, and before you know it, you're mainlining bourbon barrel-aged
KBS stout. Yeah. Yep, exactly. So, Soft Parade, yeah. I stopped drinking Soft Parade because every time I ever threw up from drinking, it didn't seem like it was from drinking a ton as much as it seemed like Soft Parade was always involved.
Huh.
And it would not taste good coming back up. And I can count on one hand the number of times that I've thrown up from drinking. I generally don't drink that much when I did drink. And it was not a pleasant experience, and Soft Parade was involved every single time.
Yeah. What do you think about the beer you're drinking right now? What is that?
Hmm?
What do you...
This is an O'Doul's non-alcoholic beer. I don't know. Joseph's Brow. Bohemian. It's okay. I mean, what do you want me to say? Like,
I don't know. Was that a lager, a pilsner?
Yeah, it's like an Aldi beer. It's lager. It's okay.
Yeah. Right.
It's better than, like, it does have a bit of a flavor that most lagers in America don't have. It's a bohemian lager.
It has some presence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not Aldi, is it? It's
Trader Joe's.
Trader Joe. We got into this earlier.
It's the same company?
The Aldi in Germany divided like 50 years ago or whenever it was founded. The guy who founded it left it to his two sons.
Hans Aldi?
Hmm?
Hans Aldi?
Sure. Let's go with that. Hans Aldi founded Aldi, and when he died, he left the company to his two sons, but he divided it between them.
Was that Gruber and Mikael?
Yep. Gruber Aldi became Aldi Nord, and Mikael?
Like Michael, but German?
I think that's Russian.
But... Oh. He had a different mother.
That became Aldi Sud, I think, or something like that, north and south.
Oh.
One of them was in, like, Bavaria, and the other was in, I don't know, Berlin or something like that. Aldi North and Aldi South operate as Aldi North and Aldi South in Germany. And then internationally, in the U.S., one of them opened up Trader Joe's, and I can't remember which one is which, but they operate as Trader Joe's in the U.S., and the other operates as Aldi in the U.S., and that's why if you've ever been into either one, excuse me, you might think, oh, these stores are kind of similar. They only have products of their own brand. Usually, I think Aldi occasionally gets some big brand stuff, which they sell for a price that's pretty similar to what you'd get in any other store. I don't know. I thought that was kind of interesting because I didn't know that.
I just learned it from you today.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing.
You're welcome.
What are your improv goals while you're in Chicago?
I would like to take a class at either IO or Second City or both. You know, my goal when I get out there, the most immediate thing is just to find somewhere that I can do improv and some like-minded people with whom I can do improv. That's the biggest thing. Like, taking the classes is great, but I can do improv without taking classes. You know, anybody can. You can. You won't, but you can.
I might.
You might?
I might.
You. I heard you last week. You were telling Mike you probably wouldn't.
Probably won't, but I might.
but you could.
I'm saying there's a chance.
Yeah, that's good. I definitely would like to learn more and take... I don't want to stop learning, but, you know, I'm not trying to act like, oh, I don't need the classes. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying... I can perform without taking additional classes. Anybody can. Anybody can perform no matter what their experience level. The classes just kind of help train you and get you better at performing. But I think performing is probably the best way to get that experience. So my goal, the most immediate thing, is just to move out there and find some people to do improv with. But ultimately, yeah, one of the most important factors that is taking me out to Chicago is that I want to pursue improv and comedy and entertainment in general in a more serious manner.
Move your mic closer, please.
Hello.
I think, yeah. All right. So what are some of your favorite podcasts?
Comedy Bang Bang is the only one that I really listen to consistently. I've listened to some other ones, but, you know, I don't listen to them. Like, I made like a couple episodes here and there. I've listened to How Did This Get Made a couple times.
Hmm.
That's okay. You know,
an NPR podcast.
Sorry?
That's an NPR podcast, isn't it?
No, it's about bad movies and how they got financed and made.
Oh,
it's with I don't know what you're thinking of. It's with Jason Mantzoukas and Paul Scheer and June Diane Raphael.
I'm a big fan of Jason Mantzoukas.
Yeah, who isn't?
I hadn't heard of
probably
him.
Probably most people.
Well, I had heard of him through the league. Like, I watched the league.
Yeah, yeah.
But I didn't know he was such a prolific podcaster. And
yeah, he does Comedy Bang Bang a lot, too. He's one of my favorite guests on Comedy Bang Bang. Of course, Jason Mantzoukas is just a character created by Jeffrey Character Wheaties. That's a joke that Sean Francis will get if he listens to this podcast. And probably nobody else.
Also, Josh and Tom listen. That's our audience right now. So would they get it?
I don't know. It depends on if they've listened to enough Comedy Bang Bang. Probably not.
The podcast I was thinking of is How I Built This.
Oh, okay.
Which is very similar in name to
How Did This Get Made. How I Built This. How Did This Get Made? Sure.
That's the answer to the the question.
How did this get made? I built it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I listen to Comedy Bang Bang a lot.
It's a good one.
Yeah, I like it.
I listen to all the best of. It's like the end of the year top 15s.
Sure. Yeah, the end of the year ones are a great way to get into it. I feel like a lot of the time, though, some of my personal favorite episodes kind of go overlooked. Mookie Blakelock is a recurring guest. He's only been in maybe 5 episodes, but every single one that he's been in, I love all of those episodes. He does these characters that are just so over the top, and he's one of my favorite guests, and none of his episodes have ever made it into the best ofs, which is a real shame. And I don't know what the hell is wrong with these people that are voting, but they really should vote him into it.
What's his name?
Mookie Blakelock.
M-O-O-K-I?
I-E.
M-O-O-K-I-E?
Yes. He's an improviser. I think he's with UCB. Don't quote me on that.
Maybe it'd be easier if I spell his last name.
B-L-A-I-K-L-O-C-K?
What?
Do we need to look this up on the podcast?
Sorry for the delay.
Look it up, Chrissy. Look it up.
That's a Comedy Bang Bang reference.
Yes, it is.
Look
you got
it up,
it.
Scotty. Yeah, we'll just take a short break here. If you want to do a musical interlude, maybe.
Welcome to the break. Welcome to the break. Welcome to the break. Welcome to the break.
No, I can't spell it. We'll figure it out later.
Yeah, it's not important.
It's important to me.
Aw.
Are you going to participate in the improv community in Chicago as an audience member?
I mean, I'm definitely going to watch it from time to time. For me, like, I vastly prefer performing to watching. I watch people that I know do improv because I like to support them. And I do like watching good improv. It's always a treat. But it's not something I feel like I need to do every week, you know, if that makes sense. I'd rather be focusing on, getting better myself and really focusing my efforts on that. And I'll be honest, everybody has their own little like method when they perform. When I perform, I don't pay attention to anybody else that's performing until after I have gone on and performed. And then I can sit down and relax and be like, it's over, and I can watch other people do their thing and enjoy it. And that's not a slight against any of those people. It's not because I don't like what they're doing or because I don't care about it. It's because I'm in a different headspace when I'm preparing to perform, and watching somebody else perform is just not something that I can do at that moment. I have to mentally prepare for what I'm about to do, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's fair. What type of comedy practice has been most beneficial to you?
Performing. There is no substitute for performing. You can practice all you want. You can practice with your friends in your basement or in a living room or whatever every week. But then you might make each other laugh a ton. You make each other laugh a whole lot. And you think, wow, we're really funny. And then you go up and perform. And let me tell you, it can be a sobering experience. I've had that happen. Planned Parenthood, before we started performing regularly, we practiced a lot. When we first formed, we would just meet at Tom's parents' house in their basement, and we would practice down there. And then we brought Andy into it, and Andy, and it was the four of us, we would practice, me, Josh Heller, Tom Hunt, and Andy Cash. We would all practice down in their basement, and it was a lot of fun, and we would make each other laugh a whole bunch, but then when we got up on stage, it was a different kind of thing. And the first few performances that we did the interview game, I'm sure you remember, talk show,
mm-hmm.
and we actually did a really good job with that. But then, you know, we had a couple that didn't go so well. We had our Gardella's show where we headlined. And that, you know, the audience told us it was fine. You know, nobody really had a problem with how it went. But we could tell that it wasn't our strongest show.
So, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, nobody said anything bad about it. Nobody approached us and was like, that really sucked. It was just, we could tell that it wasn't as good as we could have done, or it wasn't up to the same standard as what we had previously done in our performances. And that happens from time to time. We've had a few more like that, but that's okay. You know, it's going to happen. The point is you go out there and you perform, and you learn from performing. You can learn so much more from performing than you can from practicing, because you have that audience reaction. You can find out what works and what doesn't work. And oftentimes, what you and your friends think is funny is not always going to be what an audience thinks is funny. Your inside jokes are going to go over their heads. Nobody likes it. Don't do inside jokes.
Oh, yeah, that's a good tip. What do you think are the qualities of a good improv student?
Listening, number one. That is key. Listening in an improv scene is the most important thing. Listening to whoever's teaching you to do improv is the most important thing. I have seen some improvisers who maybe didn't have the right kind of attitude when they were being given certain tips, when they were being taught certain things. I will tell you, and frankly, I've been one of those people myself. I have gone into a few situations with kind of an attitude where I felt like, I'm here with a bunch of people that don't really do improv, and I perform every week, and I'm not that I was better, but I was more experienced than these people. And then you kind of realize after a little while, maybe there is some stuff that I can learn. You know, I can knock it out of the park. I can hit a home run, but then I can also get up there and flounder. And if I were a truly experienced veteran improviser, even when I was struggling, I would be able to recover and do a pretty decent job. And I think that is kind of a weak point when you're inexperienced. Inexperienced improvisers can still be funny. They can still have great moments. They can still do great scenes, but not every scene is going to be great. And that's really where listening comes into play. Listen to everything you can. Even if you don't agree with it, try it. Maybe try their advice. What do you have to lose? I just think that's the best advice I can give to anybody, is to just listen.
That's a good one. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you smoke cigarettes? Why or why not?
I don't regularly. I do from time to time. I am kind of a social smoker, I guess you would say. I've bought one pack of cigarettes in my entire life, and I gave it to a homeless guy because he was asking me to, and I was just feeling particularly generous that night, you know. And
for the audience, Cam made a gesture of tipping back a bottle.
So I bought him a pack of cigarettes, and then I said to him, "Can I have one?" And he goes, "Sorry, man, I would, but I have to trade these for some weed." And I was just, like, "Okay, well, have a good night." I've never bought a pack for myself. I've just kind of gotten them from other people, and I'm terrible about that. You know, I'll borrow a cigarette from somebody, and I say borrow, but I never I never give it back. I just kind of smoke it, you know? And that's why I don't think anybody's going to be sad when I leave. I'm sure I've borrowed my fair share of cigarettes from everybody who smokes.
What online streaming, be it Netflix, Amazon, HBO, YouTube, etc., shows are you watching right now?
Honestly, I only really watch Netflix because I don't remember my Amazon Prime login info, and I forget that I have it. I think it's probably just my Amazon login info. I don't know. Well, whatever. You can't like use Chromecast with it. You can't do any kind of app stuff with it. It's really annoying.
They have a PlayStation app.
Well, I don't have a PlayStation 4. I'm not rich.
Or 3.
Okay. Well, I do have a PlayStation 3, but I don't use it.
You could use it to stream Amazon Prime shows.
Well, I'd have to connect it with an Ethernet cable, and my apartment isn't really...
It has Wi-Fi.
Mine doesn't. Does it?
Yeah.
Does it have Wi-Fi? Do they all have Wi-Fi?
Pretty sure.
I don't think so. The PS3 have Wi-Fi built in? Maybe. You might be right. I don't remember, honestly. I haven't played my PS3 in, like, a year and a half. Okay. Haven't even turned it on. I'm watching reruns of Frasier right now.
Frasier?
Yeah.
What season?
I don't know. 3, I think. I tried watching... Look, people are going to hate me for what I'm about to say. I'm going to get some serious shade thrown my way over this. I tried watching Always Sunny. Did not care for it.
Wow.
I just don't find it that funny. I gave it a good chance, too. I watched into season 4.
The first 4 seasons are the best seasons.
They are the best seasons?
Yeah.
Then I guess I just will never get into it because I mean, it had a couple episodes here and there that made me laugh a little bit, but for the most part, I get like a good smirk out of every episode. But a
strong smirk?
Yeah, but it never really makes me laugh that much.
No guffaws?
Not really.
Because the characters are all such terrible, terrible people?
They are all such terrible. Charlie is a really good character. I like him. He's funny. Danny DeVito's character can make me laugh from time to time. I feel like it's so formulaic. Like, and I get that all sitcoms are that way, but it's just like every week is just them being terrible people. And I don't know. It's like I find that humor that's trying to be shocking is just kind of trying too hard in a way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's no redemption. There's no growth.
Yeah, and look, Seinfeld was the same way, but the characters there were relatable because, like, yeah, they weren't great people, but they were genuine, real people that said things that you could relate to and laugh about because you could relate to it in your own life. I can't relate to finding a dumpster baby. I can't relate to anything that happens in Always Sunny because it's ridiculous. I'm sorry.
Maybe once you're in Chicago, your mind will change.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see. We'll see if I find a dumpster baby in Chicago. Or maybe I'll buy a police officer uniform and impersonate the police. I just keep wondering, why aren't these people in prison after every episode?
That would be an interesting sitcom. One by one, the characters drop off as they get sent to prison. It's like a 6-episode season. If you could meet and spend time with any one comedian, living or dead, who would it be?
Any comedian living or dead? That is a really tough question. You know, you kind of want to go for like the dead comedians, but I'm trying to think of a dead comedian that I would want to really talk to that really influenced me or whatever, but honestly can't, you know, a lot of people would say George Carlin. George Carlin's funny, but I wouldn't say he's a big influence of mine. Really trying to think of who I would pick. I don't know, maybe Larry David. I really like Larry David. I love his sense of humor. You know, I love how negative Larry David, how pessimistic he is. That sounds terrible of me to say, but like, he can't be optimistic all the time. It's not funny. There's nothing funny about being optimistic. I mean, okay, there can be something funny about being optimistic, but only if you're portrayed as naive. Think about like Kenneth from 30 Rock.
Jack McBrayer.
Yeah, Jack McBrayer's character, Kenneth in 30 Rock. He is the most optimistic character, like, in any television show ever, probably. But why is he funny? It's not because of his optimism. It's because of his relentless optimism. His optimism is turned up to 11 to the point where he is the most naive person alive. That's why it's funny. It's not because he's a positive, pleasant person. It's because he's way, way, way too positive and way, 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 way too pleasant. And I don't know. I think generally speaking, you can have more fun and be funnier with negativity and pessimism. And that's not a great outlook on life, but it's realistic. Everybody gets pessimistic and negative from time to time. It's fun. It's cathartic. It's cathartic to complain about things. And that's why I love Larry David so much. He complains about things that you kind of think about, but you never think to make jokes about it. Like, you know, you might be at the, you know, I went to Bob Evans today. I went to Bob Evans for breakfast today, and at the counter, I was like, oh, I'm going to get a cookie. And I asked for the cookie, and she said, okay, I'll have to get you one from the back because we don't give these ones out there for display. And I'm like, okay. And then instead of going to get my cookie, she dealt with every other customer in line first, and I just stood there waiting. And then once the line cleared out, she went to the back to get my cookie. And I'm like, this took you 30 seconds to go back and get my cookie. Why didn't you go do it while you were dealing with me instead of dealing with every other customer that was behind me in line? And I feel like that kind of thing is something that I would really want to, like, just complain about and make jokes about. But I'm not going to complain to her face because I'm not that kind of person. And Larry David in his sitcoms will do that. And I think there's something very cathartic about that, about a character who will say what you're thinking, what everyone would think in that situation, and his character will just come right out and say it.
So you're really looking forward to the new season of Curb Your Enthusiasm?
I am, yeah. I love that show.
So good.
I love Seinfeld too, and I think I never realized it when I was a kid. I watched Seinfeld when I was younger, growing up. Yeah. My mom was really into it, and I would watch it with her. And then as I got older, I watched the reruns on TBS, and I got really into it myself. I've seen every episode probably 3 or 4 or 5 times. And Larry David's influence really shows through. You know, he left after season 7. And then the show was still funny after that, but it was different. It had a very different tone. And I never really and I recognized that it was different after season 7, but I never knew why until I found out that it was because Larry David left after season 7. And then I was like, that makes sense. The show got much, much more different after that.
All right. What things are you looking forward to the most in Chicago?
The Chicago cheesesteaks, for sure.
Yeah?
Yeah, Chicago cheesesteak. And the, what do they eat in Chicago?
Soft pretzels?
Yeah, the authentic Mexican food that they're known for. Tex-Mex. Soft pretzels.
Apples?
Apples, yeah.
Big ones.
Big apples. Cherry. They're the cherry capital of the world, from what I understand. Oh,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's not Traverse City. It's Chicago. I think I'm looking forward to the, you know, one of the things I've liked about living in Grand Rapids is I've been exposed to so much more culture than what I was exposed to in Cadillac, you know. And you could probably laugh about that because you're from the area, and so you're kind of like, there's not any culture here in Grand Rapids. But
no, there is, for sure.
Yeah, there is. There is.
All my dad's family lives in Boyne City, which is like even further north than Cadillac or Traverse City. So,
and it's really built up here in the last 5 to 10 years.
It's changed a lot.
From what I understand. But there is a lot of culture. I'm not trying to undermine Grand Rapids culture. Let's be real here. It's largely a white Dutch town.
80%.
Yeah. It is. And the culture is kind of reflects that in a lot of ways.
Definitely.
And it's changing, but you still have, it's kind of like a top coat, you know, the top coat is what it is. And Chicago is just a much more diverse, much more culturally rich city. And I mean that in no disrespect to Grand Rapids, again, because I love Grand Rapids. But I am looking forward to that new level of diversity and cultural enrichment that I just don't have here, you know. It's going to be nice to be able to see, like, Second City and IO, see them perform and get a dose of, like, what real professional improvisers look like and people that do it for a living. You know, I don't think anyone in Grand Rapids is doing this for a living.
No, there's not enough money in it.
Yeah. No, there's no money in it. I mean, you know, I've made probably from improv, I've made less money than I have from acting, and I've been doing improv every week for a year, and I've done acting for, I've done like two, maybe three separate shoots doing acting.
The adult films?
The adult films that I did, yeah. Cameron Does Chicago is my next one. Look forward to that.
Big Time's Big Time?
Yeah. Big Time.
Or Big Time in the Big Time?
Big Time in the Big Apple. But I have actually made some money from acting, and I've made more money from acting than I ever made from improv. There's just no money in improv, and it's sad.
You think that's going to change with the comedy project?
I hope it will. I really hope it will. I hope that it will provide a lot of opportunities for improvisers, both young and old, inexperienced and experienced, I should say. I really hope that it will provide a lot of opportunities. I'd love to come check it out when it opens.
All right. What are you going to miss the most about Grand Rapids?
Just how close everything is, you know. When I'm moving out to Chicago, I'm going to be like 45 minutes from the city, you know. And I'm going to work in the city. I'm going to work downtown. So I'm going to have to commute 45 minutes every day, both ways.
That's a lot of podcasts.
Yeah, that's true. That's one way of looking at it. So, yeah, I'm going to miss how small everything is. I'm going to miss all the people that I've really gotten to know. I'm going to miss you, Chris.
Aw.
I'm going to miss you. I'm going to miss the familiarity of it all. I work as a field technician now, so I know the city pretty well because I drive it a lot. I know where most everything is in the city. I am not going to have any of that when I move out to Chicago. And my phone's GPS is a piece of crap, so that's going to be a lot of fun. I'm gonna miss the people. I'm going to miss familiarity. I'm going to miss the whole, you know, and it comes back to the culture. Grand Rapids has a very unique culture. It has a small art and performing kind of culture, and I think I'm going to miss that. From what I've heard about the kind of the performing culture in Chicago is, it's just so much more competitive. It's not as community oriented, and I'm going to miss that community, that feeling of community that I get here.
Like, there's a lot of people who are performing to try to get famous instead of
And I mean, that's just generally not the case here, because you're probably never going to get famous performing in Grand Rapids, but. And there's nothing wrong with that. Like, some people just do it for fun, and that's fine. It's great. I've been doing it for fun, but I also want to take it a little bit more seriously. So that's part of the reason that I'm moving. And I really love that community that exists here. But I do have to say, I think in the last year, I have noticed that the community has become, I'm not going to say, like, competitive, but I think people all over the community are starting to take it a little bit more seriously. And I feel like maybe some divisions now exist that maybe did not exist as much as they did before. And you can take that how you want to take it. I'm not trying to scoop on anybody here, but that's just kind of how I look at it. It's kind of just something that I feel like I've noticed, is that it's it's still very community driven, but maybe not quite as much as it was a year ago. And is that a bad thing? I think that's just a natural kind of evolution.
All right. I noticed that last fall you were wearing a Bernie Sanders t-shirt pretty frequently. And I was wondering, how do you feel about the quality of that t-shirt?
It's 100% cotton.
It is. Made in the USA.
Yeah, it was. I've got a weird body type. And it was, I don't remember what size it was, but I remember that it was a little short for me and a little too wide. So I think it was meant for somebody who was maybe a foot shorter and like the same weight.
Yeah. You know? You're pretty tall.
I'm pretty tall. And I am a little on the heavy side, but that shirt I feel was designed for somebody who's short and on the heavy side. And, I mean, it fits okay, but it's a little bit baggy on me, but not long. So
did you find the material to be coarse?
No, I thought the material was fine. It felt like most every other t-shirt that I have. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Do you have one of your own?
I do. And I didn't wear it probably as often as I could have or mm-hmm. should have, because the material was kind of coarse and
okay.
the neck hole wasn't large enough.
Oh, you know what? The neck hole on mine, it was large enough, but it definitely stretched when it went around my head. I've got a big head. And I do remember it had the tag was kind of itchy. Mm. It had kind of an itchy tag. Yeah, it could have been a little higher quality, but you know, you buy it, it's really more of a donation to their campaign. They probably go very cheap on those shirts for a reason. They're trying to make money for the campaign.
I feel like the difference between a poor quality t-shirt and a high quality t-shirt these days, like the cost difference can't be that much higher to have a higher thread count or whatever it is that makes a t-shirt more comfortable.
Yeah, I wish I could talk more about that, but as you know, I sold my t-shirt company last year, and so I'm currently under a non-disclosure agreement, so I am not able to talk about that at this time.
All right, next question. What do you like most about improv comedy?
The bullshitting. I just like making stuff up. Are you talking about what I like most about doing it, or just general?
However you want to take it.
However I want to take it. Okay. So I really enjoy the spontaneity of it all, honestly. You know, stand-up is a whole different thing. And every time I tell people that I do comedy, even if I tell them I do improv comedy, a lot of people don't really know what that is. And they'll be like, oh yeah, my favorite stand-up is blah, blah, my favorite comic is, you know, Jeff Dunham or whatever. Mm. And I'll be like, okay, that's cool. I don't really do that. And they're like, oh, what do you mean? You do comedy, right? I'm like, yeah, but I don't really do that. Stand-up comedy is very written, very rehearsed. You write out your material. You practice it. You get the delivery down to a T. You go out and you perform it a million times, the same material over and over until you have the delivery down pat. And then you go out and you do the same fucking thing every night that you're out there. And I feel like I could do that. I feel like it would just get really monotonous after a little while, and I'm sure it's not. I'm sure there's a lot of challenge to it, you know, refining your material to the point where it gets a punch and it gets a laugh and everything. That's got to be really hard to do, and I have a lot of respect for comedians who do that. Improv, what I like about improv is I don't do that. I don't go out and refine my material. And you know, the result is a highly refined stand-up set is going to be funnier or better, typically, than improv. But I think the magic of improv is that you can have a really great scene that you can have maybe not even just one scene, but a really great show, a really great improv show is going to be full of, it's going to be full of references and callbacks and things like that to itself. It's going to be self-referential, but in a good way. And the audience is going to be there for the entire thing, and they're going to appreciate the full ride, and they're going to appreciate that all this was just made up that night, and nobody else is ever going to get to see it. Nobody else ever saw it before. you can't go out and buy an album of improv. And maybe that's why it's not as big of an art form as stand-up, because stand-up is just so much more marketable. You can record it. You can sell albums. You can make a special. You can't do that with improv.
You can record
improv. You can record improv, but you don't know what you're going to get when you record it.
Sure.
You don't know if you're going to get a good show. When you record stand-up, when you record a stand-up special, you know what it's going to be, because this stand-up has been performing that material for a year probably by that point. And they've refined it so much that you know exactly what you're going to get when you offer them a stand-up special. If you offer somebody like an improv show that's just going to be recorded on Netflix,
yeah,
it could be a terrible show.
Yeah. There was some TV show, I think it was on Crackle, where the whole thing was improvised, set in a grocery store. I can't remember the title, but I was reading about it, and they had to record...
Superstore on NBC.
maybe. I don't know. But I was reading the Wikipedia page about it, and it said they had to record something ridiculous, like 20 hours of footage just to get a 20-minute episode, because there was so much that was just not good enough.
Yeah. Yeah. I really love the spontaneity of improv. That's what I really love about it. And ultimately, it's something that's there, and then it's just not there anymore. It's gone. Like that. I snap my fingers. I don't know if you picked that up.
Oh, there we go. What do you dislike most about improv comedy?
What I dislike most... God, that's a hard one, too, because I don't like, there are some things that I dislike about, you know, look, a bad improv set is probably going to be the worst thing you ever watch. even a bad improv set can be funny if you like bad movies, and maybe you'll like bad improv. But a bad stand-up set is kind of like, this is really bad, but at least we can heckle the guy. With bad improv, you're kind of like, this is really bad, but I'm going to feel bad if I heckle them because they're performing something and they don't really know what they're doing. And I imagine you might feel bad about heckling a stand-up too, but...
You should,
yeah, if you're a good person, if you're a decent person.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Especially if they haven't even gotten to the punchline yet.
Right, but you get what I mean, though, like... Bad improv is just the worst thing to watch. I mean, it really, really is. You'll have people up there that are, like, turning their back to the audience, and they're, like, all over the place. Their scene just makes no sense. And in the right light, it can be hilarious. I guess what I really... probably the worst thing about improv is also the best thing about improv, actually, is that it's gone. It's one time and then it's gone. I think it's the same answer for both, honestly. The spontaneity, the fact that it's over in a flash and it's just gone, and all we have to showcase for it is the memories of the people who watched it and the people who performed it. And maybe a video if people were making, you know, recording it or whatever. But yeah, I think that's probably the worst and the best thing about it.
Well, it's kind of beautiful.
Yeah, in a way.
What are some of your favorite comedy movies?
Comedy movies. You know what movie I always come back to that I really like? And it's not like the funniest movie ever, and it's probably a movie that a lot of people haven't seen. I Love You, Man. With Paul Rudd and Jason Segel. That is one of my... I love that movie because it's really relatable to me in a lot of ways.
Not having any friends? Or...
Yeah. No, you're actually... That's correct, yeah. I have friends now, but when I first saw that movie, I didn't really have a lot of friends. And I never... And also, you know,
What? I didn't hear that.
Nothing.
I thought you said you weren't that thing.
I'm not anymore. No.
There's another word or phrase.
What was it?
I'd have to check my text message history, but you said specifically...
A sliz fiend?
I believe you said, I am not a poonhound, emphatically. And then you said, I'm not a sliz fiend.
I'm not, okay?
Sure, okay.
I'm not. No, uh-huh. but the whole idea of that movie was this guy invested his time into his girlfriend, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't really have any friends, and that was kind of what I did for probably years of my life. And I could really relate to that because of that. I just really loved that movie. I think it has a kind of a story that you don't see in Hollywood a lot. It's not a love story. I mean, it kind of is, but not like
it's a romance.
Yeah. It's a love story of a different kind.
Sure.
It's not a romantic love story. It's a story about male friendship. How many movies are there that are about just male friendship?
Superbad.
Superbad, yeah, kind of. Okay. That's really about coming of age, though, too. What's the movie called again? I just said it. I Love You, Man. I Love You, Man is more of a just a straight-up movie about a guy finding a friend. And I don't know. I just thought it was a very unique movie. But my favorite comedy movies, I don't know. Dumb and Dumber always makes me laugh.
Yeah, so good.
I had an argument about Dumb and Dumber with somebody who's like, I watched bits of it. I just don't think it's funny. And I'm like, well,
we know which one you are.
I'm the one who thinks it's hilarious. Yeah. Maybe part of it is nostalgia. I liked it when I was a kid, so I still like it now.
But I think it holds up.
I do think it holds up. I think it's funny. I think the sequel was really bad.
Oh.
I think the prequel was actually better than the sequel. And that's saying something.
Harry Met Floyd?
Yeah. Did you see that?
I don't think so. The reviews were so bad.
I saw it, and I thought it was better than the sequel.
Huh. I might have to watch that then.
Look, it's not as good as the original, obviously. Sure. But for what it is, and considering it has no, you know, big stars in it, it's okay. The guy does a pretty good Jim Carrey impression. Which, you know, maybe he shouldn't have, but he's trying to play the same character. But no, just the original Dumb and Dumber. The scene where they're holding their hands over the barrel fire because they don't have any money or they've run out of money and they were on a scooter driving into Aspen. They have that suitcase full of money, but they don't realize it yet. And
spoilers, by the way.
Spoiler alert. If you haven't seen Dumb and Dumber, don't listen to the next part of this podcast.
Or the preceding 3 minutes.
Yeah, go back and rewind or fast forward. They're holding their hands over the barrel fire. And I forget which one's which. I think Lloyd is the one with the hair, or is that Harry?
I think you're correct.
Jeff Daniel. Well, I said both, so I don't know which one you're referring.
Lloyd. Okay. I think is
no, Lloyd Jeff is Daniels. Lloyd Christmas. Lloyd is Jeff. Lloyd is no. Lloyd is what the hell is his name?
Jim Carrey.
Jim Carrey. Lloyd is Jim Carrey. Yeah, because he's Lloyd Christmas, and then the other one's Harry, something
Dix.
Or other. Sorry.
Son.
Huh?
Harry Dixon.
Harry Dixon.
Dix? Harry Dix.
Might be Harry Son? Dix. It's Harry Dix.
Harry Dix.
That's what it is now.
Hmm.
So Lloyd.
Oh, Cox. Harry Cox was the.
Yeah. That's it. Harry Cox. And his middle name is.
Penis.
Okay. I was going to say balls.
Oh.
Lloyd. Let's get to the point here. Lloyd's got, you know, he's got no.
Get to the tip.
He's got no. Mittens on, and Harry has mittens on, or no, it's the other way around. Lloyd has mittens on, Harry
can
has
we,
no
can
mittens
we just
on.
Call him Jim and
yeah Jim and Jeff. So Jeff has no mittens and he's freezing, and Jim Carrey has mittens on, and Jeff Daniels, I almost called him Jeff Bridges, I know that's not right, Jeff just... Daniels says to him, my hands are numb, and Jim Carrey goes, oh, why don't you take one of these extra pairs of gloves I got on? My hands are getting kind of sweaty. And he's like, I can't feel my fingers. You were wearing extra gloves this whole time? And then they start fighting. That is my favorite scene in Dumb and Dumber. And maybe like one of the funniest scenes of any movie. We're laughing just talking about it.
Yeah.
I love that scene.
That was so good.
Yeah.
So many great scenes.
Yeah, and the scene where the guy, you know, the guy's like riding with them and he's gonna kill them, and then he dies
from the hot peppers. Yep.
And they sell their dead bird to the blind kid.
Petey. Yeah. Oh man. And Harlan Wynes as the cop who drinks the bottle of piss.
Yeah.
Harlan, get out of here.
Harlan Wynes?
What's his last name?
Harlan Williams?
Williams?
Yeah.
Oh.
He's not a Wayans brother. He's the white one. He's the white Wayans brother.
He's adopted?
Yeah. Yeah. Harlan Williams is funny, too. Oh, that reminds me of Rocket Man. Have you seen that?
The
Disney movie?
Is that
You're thinking of The Rocketeer, maybe?
Rocketeer.
Rocket Man is about he goes to Mars. It's got it stars Harlan Williams.
I don't know if I've seen that.
So it's just a really dumb comedy that I think Disney produced, but it was like PG-13.
Ooh,
yeah,
that's scandalous for Disney.
Yeah, I know it was at the time. So it's just, you know, they go to Mars and Harlan Williams, just a goofball idiot who somehow gets picked to be on this Mars team. Because he's like a brilliant scientist, and yet he's also a complete fucking idiot. And I don't know. Mm. I don't know how he can be both, but somehow he makes it work.
Is this based on the Elton John song Rocket Man?
It's based on the Elton John song Rocket Man. He leaves his wife behind because Mars ain't the kind of place to raise your kid.
It's a musical, right?
Yeah, it's a musical starring Harlan Williams. As the titular Rocket Man. There's a scene in this movie where they're all put into a cryogenic sleep for like 6 months because it's a long trip to Mars, right?
It is.
And Harlan Williams fucks up his cryogenic sleep thing and wakes up after like an hour. And so he's left on this voyage alone for 6 months. And they only have enough food to like make it to Mars and then to make it back. You know, they didn't like stockpile them with food.
Sure.
They just gave him like an emergency supply. So he eats all of the food for like this crew of four people. And when they all wake up, he's like gone crazy and he's got a beard and he's got like food all over his face. Like it's all paste, you know, in a tube. And he's like painted it on his face like a tribal person or something. And it's just bananas. This movie is just really dumb. And then on Mars, there's a scene where he farts into his spacesuit, and they're sharing an oxygen tube. And so the other guy's like, oh, and he squeezes the tube. Boy. And the spacesuit, Harlan Williams' spacesuit, because he's squeezing the tube, it just expands because of his gas, which is totally legitimate, right? That's how physics work.
Yeah,
if you fart into a spacesuit, it's just going to expand. then he like floats around from it. I don't know. It's really, really dumb.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah. You have to watch this movie. I'm kind of describing it, but I haven't seen the movie since I was probably like 12. So
I wonder if Disney has that one in the vault or if it's available.
I don't know. I don't know how that works. Maybe they're just keeping it in the vault. That might be the best idea.
Next to the racist stuff from the 30s.
Yeah, that's how bad it is. It's like, we're going to line this one up with the racist shit. It's the only movie. It's just not good enough. I thought it was good. I enjoyed it. I was 12.
It sounds like it had its moments.
Yeah, I mean, I liked Family Guy back then, too.
Yeah, that's fair. All right, next question. Creamy or crunchy?
For anything?
However you want to take it.
However I want to take it?
Mm-hmm. Why are you looking at me like that?
Maybe, I think creamy. You know, I probably have to go with creamy. Ultimately, it comes down to, how do I like my ice cream? A lot of people like their ice cream to be full of shit, you know, that's really hard.
I don't know anyone who likes their ice cream to be shit flavored.
You don't really?
No, I'm sure they exist.
A lot of people, that's what I'm hearing, is a lot of people out there love shit flavored ice cream.
Huh.
And
I guess I've never tried
with the corn and everything.
Feces, so
swirl. Yeah,
maybe I've been missing out this whole time.
You have been.
Dogs love it.
They do. I had a dog that ate the cat's shit.
Wow.
I don't think he ate his own shit, but he loved a good piece of cat shit.
I wonder if it works the same like with people. If maybe you don't like your own, but other people's is delicious.
And yet, that's not how farts work, is it? Everybody likes their own fart, but nobody really likes other people's farts.
Sometimes your own farts are terrible.
But you still sniff them, don't you? You're kind of like, I wonder how that smells. You just want to check, you know? Anytime you fart, admit it. Everybody does.
I had a really good one the other day. I got the Trucker Nachos at the Winchester.
Trucker Nachos at the Winchester?
Yeah. And it's got like the bulgogi beef, like the Korean marinated beef.
Yeah, because truckers are known for eating bulgogi.
I think they're called Trucker Nachos. Maybe they're Truck Nachos. I don't know. Something like that. But it's like a...
All these open-minded truckers out there eating Korean food on a regular basis.
Did you just assume the cultural intelligence level of people that drive transportation for a living?
No, absolutely not. I would never do that.
Well, so I had these nachos, and the beef is like marinated.
I remember you ate them when I was there with you that one time.
Yeah, that night.
Yeah.
And I guess since it sits in a marinade, there's probably some sort of bacterial contamination.
Yeah.
And the next day, I had some very potent flatulence, but it smelt so good. It smelt like like the barbecue beef marinade. It was like I had a barbecue going down there.
And you had a barbecue in your pants and everybody was invited.
It was very like savory and
barbecue. Would you say it had elements of edamame?
Soybeans?
was that one of the flavors that it evoked?
I didn't get any soybeans. It's more of like a sweet barbecue.
Okay. That's a good story. Thank you for sharing it. I was pretty gassy earlier today. I was actually going to tell you when I came in, just a heads up, I might be kind of gassy, but it seems to have passed.
You were belching a fair amount, but that's probably from the beer.
Yeah.
It's pretty fizzy.
From the O'Doul's. Yeah.
Yeah. What is your... This is the last question, by the way.
Okay. So is this the
last end? But not least.
Last but not least.
Yeah, for the... That was not a fart. That was the chair.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. What is your motivation for doing comedy?
My motivation for doing comedy is probably to get rich and make a lot of money. That's my motivation. Nah, I'm kind of messing around, but I mean, it would be cool.
Behind every joke, there's a
behind every joke, there's a little bit of truth. Yeah. That would be. I mean, that's. I wouldn't be moving to Chicago and if I didn't want to actually try to take it more seriously. But at the same time, that's like not my motivation for doing it. That's I want to make it into something that I could maybe make a living out of because, you know, I have this new job out in Chicago and it's going to be great and everything. But ultimately, I see myself doing more and more of the kind of thing that I currently do as a hobby. I would like to make it into a career. So that really is my motivation for doing it. I guess my initial motivation for doing it was just something to do. But as I did it and I discovered how much I loved it and, you know, that...
Your passion ignited.
My passion ignited, yeah. Mm. I've always enjoyed comedy, you know. We talked earlier about Comedy Bang Bang. Comedy Bang Bang is probably the whole reason I got into doing improv in the first place. Before Comedy Bang Bang, my experience with improv was pretty much what most people's experience with improv is, like Whose Line. I watched Whose Line, I watched Saturday Night Live a little bit, I watched a couple other sketch shows. I was never like a huge comedy nerd, I just kind of liked things that made me laugh. But I've definitely gotten more into comedy stuff than I used to be. I still don't watch a ton of stand-up. Not as much as I should, but it's because stand-up isn't really the art form that interests me most.
You should watch the Reggie Watts special on Netflix. That was entirely improvised.
Yeah, I would. Is he the only one involved in it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think I like Reggie Watts. I like what he does. I don't think he's the funniest guy.
It wasn't so much comedy,
right?
As
it's very musical
performance.
Yeah, art. He's very talented. It's just I don't know. Like,
it was a good special.
Music is great. Musical comedy is good. It's entertaining. I don't know if I generally think it's as funny as regular improv or regular comedy, and I don't think it's something that I would generally want to listen to in the car either. So for me, it kind of occupies this weird niche area that's in between the two, where it's like, this is okay, and it's very, very skillful, but it's not as entertaining as regular comedy, and it's not as enjoyable to listen to as regular music. So why am I listening to it or watching it? That might be a controversial opinion, but that's just how I feel.
Fair enough.
So you got kind of a scoop there.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. Well, with that, the interview portion of the podcast has concluded. We'll be moving on to a short break, and then we'll come back with a bunch of mini segments. And I still haven't had time to set up a musical transition into the break. So if you wouldn't mind doing some sort of performance and then ring the bell when you've reached your conclusion.
Okay. Do you want me to keep it going for like 10 minutes or?
However long it takes you to feel comfortable that okay. We've reached a state of completion.
We're going to take a break now. We're going to be right back with more. We're going to take a quick break now. We'll be back to see some more. I just rhymed the words with the same words that you said, that I actually said. You didn't say anything. Maybe I'll just turn this into a rap. Or maybe I'll just be done. Let's do a rap, shall we? How about that? We're going to go to a break right now. We're going to come back from that break in momentarily. We're going to go to a break. Don't have a cow. We're going to come back in a reverse polarity. Okay, I think I'm about ready to be done. I'm going to hit that bell now. Have a fun break.